of 2026. If you're writing your checks, I don't know. I'm still got to get used to it. I still got to get used to it, but it's all good. It's all good. If you have your Bibles, well, before we do that, turn to bookmark Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians 2, verse 10. I don't have a slide for it, but we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had foreordained that we would walk in them. We're kind of launching with that. Today's week 2 of this purpose is not optional sermon series. And today we're going to be talking about living our purposes out daily. We talked about the fact that we were created by God for his particular purpose, that he, being the creator, also creates us with an intended purpose already. And so we're going to look at that a little bit more on this morning. Let's just first open up in prayer once again. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the abilities we have to be able to come and to be able to hear what you would have to us to say, what you would have to say to us, rather. Help us to be able to hear what we need to hear, see and do what we need to see and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Today, purpose is not optional. Week 2, living it daily. Last week, as I was saying, we already talked about purpose, and specifically we looked at purpose, not something that we invent, something that we create. Rather, it's something that is created by God and given to us, and oftentimes we discover it in our relationship with the Lord. We will discover it in our relationship with the Lord. We talked about the fact and looked at the example of Jesus and the disciples as he called them into this life of discipleship. He calls them and says, come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And the fact that God stepped into their lives, gave them a greater purpose than the purpose they were already living, directed them in that, and all of the implications that come along with that purpose. We're going to look at some of those things even on this morning. But at the high level, just remembering what we talked about last week, God is in charge. He is the creator of all things. And as we talked about the microphone being created with an intended purpose, our lives, he's created each of us. First of all, corporately, we all have a purpose, right? We all have a purpose. And then we talked about the fact that individually, we all have a specific purpose as well. And so we're going to look at those things a little bit more on this morning. I want to just start with a working definition, a purpose. Purpose is the why that gives meaning to how we live and what we do. Purpose is the why that gives meaning to how we live and what we do. Purpose is the why. Why do I get up? Why do I continue to come to Green Bank? Why do you continue to go to your job? What's the purpose and what's the reason? Maybe you say your purpose is just money. That is a purpose. May not be the greatest purpose, but it is a purpose. But there's some sort of motivator, something that moves you to do what you do. Purpose gives direction to decisions. It gives weight to actions. It's what makes life feel connected instead of scattered, because we have more of a focused attention and a focused direction. So you could, when focus is clear, when our purpose rather is clear, life makes a lot more sense. When perfect is not clear, it's very confusing, very chaotic, and everything feels heavier. So we need to look at purpose first and foremost, the why that we do, the why that motivates and moves what we do. Now, what is our purpose? How do we live it out today? Well, first of all, I want us to look at Colossians chapter 3, because purpose shapes how we live our lives. The word says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. here it's not just talking about doing things. He's saying the why you're doing things. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it. Here's the why. The why is in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The why is something that's greater than us. It's a purpose that's greater than us. And here's the clear why is we're trying to look like Jesus, act like Jesus, live like Jesus, be like Jesus in all that we do. And notice the word all. God doesn't compartmentalize our lives and our religious lives start on Sunday and end on Sunday evening, or excuse me, Sunday after church. Hello, somebody. That our why is found in everything we do. Whatever you do in word or deed, our speech, our actions, our thoughts, all that we do has to come and be reined and brought in to what the Lord would desire for us. You see, I want you to see something. Ecclesiastes 1:14. It says, I've seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and striving after the wind. See, real purpose gives meaning to what we do. Solomon wrote this as a man who had all of this money. And with all this money comes all of this power. And with all of this power comes all these opportunities. You know, I don't know if you realize this, but people with a lot of money, a lot of power get away with a lot of things. Hello. I need say no more. Solomon has all this money and all this power, and with all this money and now all this power, what he doesn't have is direction. And it says that what he is doing right now is he's searching all over for something to fill this void. He says, I had everything. I have all this money and his status. He put his faith and his confidence in status. He built the greatest of homes and mansions and gardens and all of that. He had male servants and maid servants. He had all these wives and concubines. He had it all that the world would want. But he didn't have direction and purpose, and he wasn't living in his purpose. He himself said that he was chasing after all these things. He chased after being happy and merry and drinking and drugs and finding his purpose there. He was looking for it in women and relationships and was looking for it there. And he says, in all these pursuits of going here for this and here for that and here for that, looking for the thing that was going to satisfy me, he said, I realized and recognized that it was all vanity. Vanity. It was all chasing the wind. Chasing the wind is a futile effort. As you can't ever catch the wind. That's the whole purpose of it. He's chasing the wind. He's going and pursuing after something he can never really hold. But he hears it. I hear it over there, and so I run over there to try to find it. Maybe you ran to a relationship, or to yet another relationship. Maybe it's the pursuit of money, and so I got to run over there thinking that that's going to finally satisfy me and make me feel important about who I am in myself. Hello, somebody. And so you're running after that, and he says, and when I got there, I'm climbing the corporate ladder, and then when I get to the top, I'm like, it's just as lonely up here as it was before. And then that's what he's talking about, the vanity, the futility of it. I'm running after all of these things, and then when I finally get it and it's in my hands, I recognize vanity, vanity. This is no good. It's futile. It doesn't satisfy at all. And that's what he says about us. See, purpose, living a life without purpose. I'm going here, and I'm thinking this is going to fix it. And I'm gonna move to Atlanta. Woo, Atlanta. I think that's going to fix it. I'm gonna leave this job and go to that job. That's going to fix it. I'm gonna now leave this man and get that man, or leave that woman and get that woman, and leave. And you're chasing it all over because there's no true purpose. No real focus. See, purpose is going to focus us. It's going to help us to make our decisions and say what is in bounds and what's out of bounds, what is yes and what is no, what is good and what is better and what is best. When we understand our purpose and we get focused on our purpose. Ecclesiastes says as he was chasing after all these things, they were vanity. But later on, he recognized and comes to that point that the whole sum of the matter is to fear God and what? And keep his commandments. Reverence God, respect and look and follow after God and keep his commandments. That's the whole counsel of man. That's your whole purpose. We want to find our purpose. It's found right there in living in alignment with God. We're going to look at that just a little bit more. See, here it is right now, keyed it up right perfectly. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. You're going to look at this a little different, I think. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, Jesus is coming in to redefine our why. I want you to understand something and recognize something. He's saying there's a call that he's calling his people. Come to me. What people? Ones who are labor and are heavy. What does he mean by that? You are beat down. You are burdened down by life. Jesus looked over Jerusalem, and you remember as he looked over Jerusalem, he had compassion over them because as he looked over them, they were like a sheep without a shepherd. You know, you understand what he means by that? They were like a sheep without a shepherd. They were like sheep wandering aimlessly without purpose. He says, you're out there in the world and wandering in the world without this, without purpose. And guess what? Without purpose, you're gonna get beat up. With purpose, you will too, but we'll talk about that later, all right? But without purpose, you're getting beat up. And matter of fact, you're getting beat up, don't know why you're getting beat up. Amen. At least when you're getting beat up, you know why you're getting beat up. You know, getting beat up for the cause of Christ or for living. All right, anyway, I'm going to preach a whole other sermon. With purpose. I want to come back to this Matthew 11, 28. He says, come to me. You've been beaten up out there. You've been living this life without purpose. You've been going out there and been burdened down because, you know, you're wandering aimlessly like the sheep. And as I said, without purpose, life gets a lot more heavy, especially when I don't know why this is happening. Hello. Think about going to the doctors, and the doctor said, I don't know what's really happening. Yeah, I've had that happen to me. I said, I know it hurts and it's painful here. And I hear what you're saying, but we can't see nothing. But tell me what it is now. All right, I'm going to mess up my whole illustration. I see it in my head, but it ain't coming out right. Jesus has come to me. And I want you to see something. He says, he tells us in coming to him that we ought to get this yoke relationship. I know I had to explain this in class this morning by yoke. So I just want to make sure everybody understands what yoke is. A yoke is a device that allows two oxen or cows or whatever to be connected together, horses to be connected together. And in that connection together, guess what? Now they're in this yoke. If you put your head in and you're connected to the other one, and now both of us got our heads in together. Now what he's saying is, this is the yoke that we need to have, us and Jesus. When we're yoked up with Jesus, we ain't going nowhere because we got to go together. Now, I told you all this last week. Jesus is not my co-pilot. He's a what? He's the pilot. So if Jesus is the pilot and we're in this yoke relationship and all that, and that means someone's leading this yoke relationship and the other person's got to follow exactly where they're going. Y'all see where this is going. Amen. Jesus is leading us in this yoke relationship. And because we're in this yoke relationship, we're able to do more than we are able to do separately. You think one oxen, let's say they were able to do 100 pounds of work. Another oxen able to do another 100 pounds of work. Well, you would think by yoking them up together, they were able to do 200. But no, they were able to do like 1,000% more work. Not just 100% more work because you yoked them together. Now they're able to do exponentially more because they're yoked together. And us being yoked together with the Lord, we're able to do more than we can do alone. He doesn't need to be yoked with us. I just want you to understand that. We need to be yoked with him. So he says, come to me when you're burdened down, when you're heavy laden, when life is bringing the struggle down upon you and all that. What you're first going to need to be is in a yoked relationship with me, hooked up with me. Now, I want you to see what that really means is being in alignment with God and his will. Being in alignment with God and his will. When we're walking outside of alignment, we're walking outside of our purpose. When we're walking in alignment with God, we're walking in our purpose because we're following Jesus. Let's just make this real. I gotta want to follow Jesus. When somebody cusses me out, I want to follow Jesus. When I see somebody in need, and I'm still having all these different doubts and all that, but yet there's something pulling me in my heart to say, give. I got to follow Jesus.
when my enemy is acting wrong against me, or the person that, you know, that when they just rubbed you the wrong way and they done rubbed it. Hello. I got to talk and act and think like Jesus. I'm in a yoke relationship with Jesus. We're able to do more together because we're going and we're walking together. And I want you to see this phrase that he uses. He says, I'm going to come to me, you who labor and heavy laden. I will give you rest. He's not talking about you just lay up on the couch now and don't do nothing no more. He's not talking about laziness, no. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. What am I learning? I'm learning my purpose that's found in him. This is the way he's talking about discipleship. When he told the disciples, come and follow me and I will make you, that was a process that was happening. That wasn't an instantaneous thing. They didn't learn about Jesus and learn what to do and how to live like Jesus and how to love like Jesus and how to walk like. They didn't learn that instantaneously. They learned it through walking with Jesus. They learned it by looking at him, by seeing the way Jesus reached out to the poor, by seeing him embrace the lepers, by seeing him touch and be with the prostitutes, by him being in the midst of drunkards. He saw. They saw. And what Jesus is trying to tell us is the same. We need to see him, and we need to be in alignment with Jesus and his will and what he would have for us. And man, it's tough. That's why next week we talk about the sacrifice and the struggles that come with living in this purpose, the challenges that come with living in this purpose, because it's challenging living in God's purpose for you. Why? His purpose is always bigger than self. Right? If Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, let him take up his cross daily and follow me. And while we're going to deal with this a lot more on next week, I just want to say that if my comfort, it always ends up if my purpose or my why always ends up with my comfort, with me being happy, with my way. Maybe you ain't living in God's purpose. Maybe we're living in our own purpose. Hello, we'll talk about that a little bit more on next week. That's just a little plug-in. Ephesians 2:10 answers two questions for us. Why am I here? We already talked about this. We're his workmanship, creating Christ Jesus for good works. That's why we're here. And what are we supposed to do with them? Do the good works that God prepared beforehand, that we walk in them. Brothers and sisters, you're not an accident. I don't care what your mom and dad told you. You are not an accident. God, the God of the universe, knew. Hello. He enabled some unordinary odds, extraordinary odds. All right. You're not an accident. God knew and gave us a purpose before the very foundation of the earth. When he called Paul, and even Paul on that Damascus road, he told Paul, you were chosen. Go be a mouthpiece to the Gentiles. Where did Paul didn't choose it himself. He was chosen. Brothers and sisters, you were chosen. You are chosen. For some of you, it's just an easy amen, but I want to talk to you, for some of you, it's not as easy amen. Because a lot of times, I want you to recognize the value that God places upon us and the value, the way he looks at us. We sometimes minimize our value. We minimize our the value that God has on us, but he values us greatly. And he entrusts us with this gospel reconciliation. He entrusted us into our hands. You're somebody in Christ. If the world will never tell you, if no one else ever tells you, we are someone in Christ. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works in order to do the greatest thing. Oh, man, there's so much I want to say. Jesus came to be a servant. I want you to look at our master. Jesus came to be a servant. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. He steps out of his glory and in awe of his deity and his majesty, and he steps out of that and into this human flesh and comes into this world. And he leaves all of that. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He has all the rights and privileges of deity, and yet he submits himself willingly to step into this flesh and to be afflicted and to be touched in every single point that we are. Why did he do that? Why would he strip himself? Why would he comes down, and I want you to see what he did. He didn't come down to be made a king so that everyone down here on this earth will recognize his kingship. He didn't just go around. I mean, they had to ask him, are you the king of the Jews? He didn't go out blasting everybody and blaring everybody, I'm the king of the Jews. Recognize my kingship. But he served. He served. I told you this isn't as complicated as we make it. He served. The example of our Savior is a Savior who empties himself and serves. And in Matthew 25, when he comes back, he's going to be looking for servants. When he's separating the sheep and the goats, he's looking for servants. Have you done the good works that I created you to go ahead and do? Have you been actively doing those things? I've given you your purpose. Are you living in that purpose? How do I serve people? I love them. How do I serve people? I give to them. How do I serve people? I forgive them. How do I serve people? I give them mercy. How do I serve people? I look for opportunities in order to be able to meet needs. How do I serve people? I involve myself in people's lives. How do I serve people? I call. How do I serve people? I check. How do I serve people? I'm there. How do I serve people when they're hurting? I'm striving to try to help. How do I serve people? I look like Jesus. How would they know? We're his disciples. They know when we're living in our purpose. You don't have to broadcast it. We're living in your purpose. People know who to come to. I don't know why that hit me so much, but Jesus says this, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. If we want to fulfill the purpose, we got to stay connected to the vine. Our purpose is not found disconnected from the vine. Our purpose is found being connected with the Lord. And everything else that in life, you know, is informed by our connection with God, right? Our decision-making is informed by our connection with God. I can't make a proper decision on anything if I'm first not recognizing my position with God. Where I go, what I do, it's all based upon who I'm yoked with. I'm yoked with Jesus. Now, there's some challenges. Romans 12 says, don't be conformed to this world, because the world has its agenda. This is how you ought to live. Don't worry about being yoked up with Jesus. Be yoked up with us. Be yoked up with chaos. Be yoked up with everything that Jesus was calling them out of and saying, look, all ye who are heavy laden and burdened, I can give you rest, because you've already been out there doing your own thing, aimlessly walking and all that. Jesus wants to give us purpose and direction. He wants to lead us. He wants to be that shepherd. And so don't forget that whatever we do, do it for the Lord and not for us. In other words, our purpose of getting up in the morning, even when you go on to McDonald's, I want you to start looking at it a little bit different. Come on now. They got the fries still. No, they don't, right? Anyway. Something's changed. But whatever you do, if you look at it differently, let's just speak where we at. Get up and I get to this job. I'm just trying to last until Friday. Come on, y'all going like, y'all, come on now. That was a like somebody else. We're just trying to make it. But there are some people that walk into some jobs like that, and they just there just be satisfied just to let the time go by. And there's some different people,